Well, it was great having Chris Kirkman on our show.
Bye.
Should we say bye?
Oh, we should say bye. Ready? Two, one.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
Woo! Another exciting week behind us. We were just talking about how we didn't actually play any board games this week, but we did a lot of other exciting things.
Okay, we did. We did play board games, but they were ones we either talked about last week that we played again.
We're not allowed to talk about them again.
Or we're going to talk to them once we talk about them once we get to our Kickstarter conception section.
Lots of prototypes.
Yes, we did play a bunch tonight. And yes, we're not allowed to talk about them yet. Can we talk about any of them? We talked about Railroad Rivals. We played Railroad Rivals, and that's not launching this week, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about that one. I enjoyed
it. Deity's Domination a couple
that
times.
That is launching.
That is launching, so we're not going to talk about that.
We did Dusk Arena of Shadows.
Oh, yeah. That's... You guys played that one?
Mm-hmm.
And made a video review.
There's two videos.
Yeah, two
is
videos.
Is it out there already? Is it live?
It is on YouTube. I don't know if it's world. Public.
We haven't...
And,
yeah, probably
And if Derek's listening or watching right now, Dusk is being sent to him in the mail.
Aha.
So he can do
a
video
action
too.
Out there in the Funk
the board game. Yes, board game spotlight.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Melissa and I played a prototype, which is actually not going to Kickstarter.
Okay.
This
straight
will
to publish
go
sometime.
Yes. This is probably in the spring 2019. This is called Naga Raja. It's two player only.
Mm-hmm. And you roll fate sticks instead of dice.
Yes.
Are they similar to dice?
They are very, like, long and skinny.
I think I've seen, but they're still, like, six-sided or something, maybe?
Four-sided.
Four-sided?
Yeah. Well, I guess they are six-sided, but you only look at the four sides.
Okay.
Because the two ends.
Oh, okay.
Technically, there are sides.
Okay. Fate sticks. Nice. Yes,
they are pretty cool. They are fun to roll.
What's the gist?
You are exploring temples, and these Indian temples, and you're basically finding these relics and amulets in the temple, and the way you do that is play cards against each other, and you're basically going back and forth, putting room tiles in your temple.
Okay. So you play, your cards are multi-use, and you either play them to roll the fate sticks, or you can play them as actions, and you're playing the cards to roll the fate sticks to win the tile to then put into your temple to get to the relic.
So a little bit of building stuff going on, kind of.
I forgot, Melissa does want to say something else that we played recently.
You need to tell her what it is.
I want to say something.
Give me a hint.
Oh, that we played with Richard Lanius.
Yes. Oh, mystery.
Sherry.
I think
Sherry.
I might have seen a photo of this.
We played Detective from Portal Games.
Yeah, cool. What'd you guys think?
And we really enjoyed it. We've played 1.5 scenarios.
Yeah, cases.
So far, cases. Mm-hmm. And they're intense.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you have this database sort of online that you go to, and it has evidence and you type things in and it tells you about the suspects, and then it has certain clues that you actually search on the internet. So Kevin was our internet searcher, so he's looking up, you know, different names and events and things that were happening, and Pete was working on the database, and Richard Lanius was reading the cards and throwing out wild theories and creating his own stories, basically, of what he thought. And then I was kind of reading the rule book and making sure that I was writing down all the numbers so we could follow the leads. And
it's
very organic, right? Like, you don't feel necessarily like you're on planted websites. Aren't you kind of just, like, searching the internet?
Yeah, I was going to Wikipedia.
Okay.
And these are real people. Semi-real events, like I'm not going to spoil too much, but there was some like World War II stuff going on, and this is called a modern crime board game. So you're sort of detectives, and you feel like, okay, these pictures and how do these people connect and things like that. So,
cool.
Yeah, and the basic time mechanic means that you're not going to be able to follow every single lead. You only have enough resources and time to follow a certain amount.
Pick the ones that seem like
so
the most relevant.
So there may be 40 cards in that case, but they say you probably will only see about half of them.
Okay, oh, interesting.
So does that make it a little bit replayable if you choose to go a completely different route?
You could probably replay it. You're going to know...
I mean, you're going to know the answer.
You will know... Well, yeah, you'll know the ending answer, but it might be fun to try a different path.
Probably be more fun than some games like Time Stories to replay, sure, because you could take a totally different route to get there.
Yeah.
Whereas Time Stories is kind of usually pretty linear.
Yeah.
But still awesome.
So, yeah. Of course.
Of course it is.
So I've really enjoyed it. I hope that we can kind of remember where we are once we get back into it. Hopefully next week, maybe?
Yeah, hopefully next week.
I think we should talk about one of my highlights this week, which was Tacothon 2018.
What? Tacothon 2018. It was kind of a biblical thing for me because I was like, man, it's Tuesday. If only today was Taco Tuesday, but Taco Tuesday didn't happen. But Taco Wednesday did happen because we were rushed for time. We stopped at Taco Bell really quick. But then the rest of the week, I was like, what is happening? Because I had scheduled meals with people and they kept picking Mexican or Tex-Mex places.
Yeah.
So it was just tacos every day of the week.
Sorry, Ryan.
It was actually really nice. I got a little bit of everything. I got the cheap Taco Bell. I got the high-end tipsy taco. I got the street tacos from Armando's. And I got the authentic Mexican from La Riata. So it was pretty good. And then I guess Will kept it going.
We kept it going the rest of the weekend. In fact, tonight was secret taco night.
What does that
because
mean?
I used I well, I made tacos yesterday for lunch, and then I had
the
all this
secret
leftover
nice way
meat.
Of saying leftover.
Yeah. We had a lot of leftover taco meat, so it was a nice rainy day.
Yeah.
I just put it into the chili. The kids didn't even notice, so we had tacos again.
Your kids immediately questioned and said, well, this isn't chili.
It's beans and meat, and I'm like, that's what chili
is. Do you
need
a taco shell?
Yeah. But I guess you went to Moe's.
I went to
Moe's,
Just going to keep it rolling. I think tomorrow I'm going to see what kind of taco. This will be the longest taco-thon I've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's good.
Too funny. How many games are we talking about today on the show?
We are talking about
eight games coming to Kickstarter, and they're all coming to Kickstarter on September 18th, 2018.
Apparently it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, so be ready on that day.
So before we jump into our Kickstarter conniption, though, let's go ahead and give a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Coffee Cake Gaming. Their game, Welcome to the Jungle, is coming to Kickstarter on September 18th.
And we'll talk about that more during the Kickstarter Conniption episode.
Can we also talk about those muffins that Sarah made?
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
I feel like we got a theme going on, too, because Muffin Games is the people behind Deities, right?
Yeah, and Coffee Cape Games.
Mm.
Like Melissa and I brought our coffee.
I know, that makes me feel like I need to go get a muffin right now.
Yeah, we can like take a little break.
And we also had pumpkin spice donuts.
Yeah. We're rolling in the fall here, y'all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chili and
pumpkin spice.
What do we know about their game? Any details coming to Kickstarter? What's the...
For what?
For our sponsor.
We're going to talk about that during Kickstarter Conniption.
Ooh, so we'll find out. So should we just jump into that? Let's do it.
Kickstarter Conniption.
Melissa, why don't you start us off?
So I'm talking about Lock Up, a role player tale. This is set in the same universe as Role Player, but it is a completely different game. This is a game that uses a sort of worker placement type mechanic. You're having area influence, and you're using some set collection to get points. This is for 1 to 5 players, and you have a crew of minions that are locked up in the king's dungeon, and you're trying to go to different places in the dungeon to get resources, to recruit goons to your cause, to buy items that give you points and benefits, but there is a phase where everyone is putting out their crew, and each crew member has a certain strength. So I may put a crew member with a strength of 3 in the sewers, and Kevin can come along and put a crew member with a strength of 5 in there, and then when that location resolves in the next phase, whoever has the most strength is most likely going to get the best benefit. But each location resolves slightly differently, and then you are allowed to place two of your crew members face down. So people don't know the exact strength. Once you can place as many crew members as you want on a location, but once you place in that spot, you cannot come back later and add more to it.
Okay.
So you could decide, I'm going to dump a bunch of crew on here and lock it down. Or I'm going to only put a little bit, but then someone else, like Kevin, could come along and dump a whole bunch on there.
I would have never done that.
I know. I'm starting to feel like there's some animosity about this game.
So there's a little bit of reading the other players and what are they going to want to do, and a little bit of bluffing with those face-down tiles. Kevin and I played it. We're going to have a video out for it, and we really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun with
you
it.
You said it's in the same galaxy, so same art style as Roleplayer?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
What do you... So in my mind, immediately, it sounds to me like the type of game where you add an expansion and they tie together or something. Is that...
It may.
I think... And I'm not positive because I actually haven't played Roleplayer, but I think the storyline and characters come from one of the expansions with the... Minions, monsters and minions.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So basically, now you're playing as the minions that were conquered.
Okay.
In
it's interesting
because
the base
expansion.
Role player is like just, you know, Sagrada or whatever. You're like putting dice into your tableau, but the expansion actually kind of builds you characters that would be in a role play galaxy like that. It'd be interesting, and it wouldn't surprise me if this is the direction they're going, that you build the character, then using those stats, you go into this dungeon. It seems like something that could plug together. Just from the initial
maybe.
Sounding, I don't
Who
know.
Who knows?
Interesting. All right, cool.
If not, maybe they need to take
yeah,
that hint, suggestion.
Hint you guys.
But that was Lock Up a Role Player Tale. Katie.
All right. So I'm going to talk about Kill Merlin. It's set in a universe where Merlin has become the most powerful wizard, and it has corrupted him. And so
Isn't
all
that
the
normal Merlin. Keep going, sorry.
Well, it's a one where you're playing wizards and you're trying to take Merlin down, and you're having to work together a little bit to try to take Merlin down, but you're really trying to be the one that takes his place.
Competitive
so,
co-op?
Yeah, it sounds like more competitive than co-op, I would say. Especially since it sounds like there's probably a good deal to take that and trying to switch things around so that it's to your advantage.
Kind of a King of the Hill, maybe, is the
yeah,
way you sometimes describe this.
Yeah, kind of. I wish I could have seen more about the actual gameplay when I was researching this. But it looks like it's a really interesting setup with a board with four quadrants of different cards, and you're trying to learn spells and buy ingredients, and you need four specific kinds of spells. It sounds like everybody has a different goal for what kinds of spells they need, but you're trying to get the ingredients for those specific spells, and then once you've reached that, you are then able to kill Merlin. But there sounds like there's also a ton of stuff that switches up during the game, like a lot of different things that will totally turn things on their head, where you may have thought you were ahead at the beginning.
Oh.
Now you're suddenly behind because of something that's happened on the board. And so anyway, sounds okay. like that's... gonna be pretty neat. Also was intrigued by the art.
I was gonna say you
all the all the characters in the on the wizards are depicted as animals, and Merlin is a hairless cat. He looks so evil with this, you know, like his like wrinkly little skin
Creepy
and his
face.
Evil eyes. I know, really skinny face. Anyway, so I thought that was so funny. Anyway, Ryan, what do you have?
Coming from Rock Manor Games is Set a Watch. Set a Watch is a game about four
Time
adventurers.
Keeping? Oh,
no. I thought it was going to be about, like, you know, set your watch,
oh, not
have them. It go off at 7 o'clock. No. It's a game about four adventurers fighting their way through nine locations to eventually destroy evil in this forbidden tower. You get to be some of your archetypal fantasy characters, like rangers, knights, wizards, clerics, etc.
Archers.
Rogues. Yeah. But the interesting thing about the game is every turn you choose one player to rest at camp while everybody else takes watch. And the watchers fight the monsters while the person at camp, they can try to heal.
They're kind of support.
Yeah.
Build up the fire so you can see.
You have to do that?
Yeah.
Yes. Huh. One person has to stay behind.
Everybody has to take a turn camping twice during the game. So anyway, they are building up the fire, which lets them see the creatures that are coming, and you can prepare further down the line. Mm-hmm. And
it's really helpful.
Switching out the location deck so that maybe you don't want to go to the next location, or maybe messing with the creature deck so that you see what's coming and you can kind of prepare for what's going on. But everybody has ability cards as well, and they can use their abilities for greater effect, or they can they roll dice that they can either attack the monsters directly by having their dice sum out to greater than the monster's health, but they can also use their dice to activate an ability which lets them destroy a monster or do something special, or they can just exhaust a card by flipping it over. And if they exhaust all their cards, though, they are like permanently exhausted and they can't contribute anymore. And if everybody becomes exhausted, you lose. Too. Yeah.
So your abilities in the game are also your health, which I didn't realize when we were playing. I was just like,
using them all.
I'm fine. I got, you know, I got one more, you know, and then he's like, oh, well, you just died. And I was like, what?
So if you exhaust all your cards, you need to go back to camp. You need to go back to camp so you can heal.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we didn't have enough cards between all of us that we could exhaust. And Ryan's like, well, we just died. And I was like, when does that ever count for hit points?
Part of the thing was we didn't realize that the creature discard, the graveyard, gets shuffled back in. Oh. So we were like, oh yeah, put those hard things in the creature discard. Yeah. And then it was just the boss or mini boss monsters are called Unhallowed, and we had one round where it was three Unhallowed one after the other, and
they're particularly hard to
because we couldn't make it
because you only have three dice each, and if you use up all of your dice, every card that remains exhausts some cards of yours and goes into this horde. There's this horde mechanic that at the very end, all the cards you haven't defeated, you have to now try to defeat.
Well, it's a cooperative game, so having it be hard is a plus for me. Because if I just win a cooperative game the first time I play it, I'm just kind of like, that was probably too easy.
I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah.
I definitely like the style of the game.
It sounded cool. It sounds like it's got a great arc to it. And was this the one that had you were actually playing on the board or on the box?
Yeah, box was the board itself. I don't know if that's the base game or if it's just in this deluxe prototype that we have. But it was very cool. I liked that aspect of it.
Yeah,
for sure. So, Will, what are you talking about this evening?
I'm looking at the game Deity's Domination from Muffin Games, also coming out on September 18th.
Muffin? Did you say Muffin?
I did. Yeah. I'm very good.
I'm going to go get one.
This one's got a pretty interesting backstory because we received a prototype of this game like, I don't know, a year or more ago. And in all truth, it was terrible. It was like one of the worst prototypes we've ever received. And we went back to the designer and we said, hey, you really got to polish your rules. There's some stuff that's broken. But there is some really cool stuff going on. You really should keep working on this. So he took it back. We haven't heard from him in a long time. Kind of popped back up on our radar just a couple of months ago. And he said, hey, I've really polished it. I've done a lot of playtesting. I wanted you guys to try it out again if you're willing to. And we said, sure, you know, send it our way. It's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It has come impressive. A long way. Yeah. He took a lot of the elements that he had before, like all the kind of the best stuff, and really put a layer of polish on the design. The mechanics are much smoother. He kind of got rid of some of the stuff that was just fluff, and there was actually before in the game, like, the game was just going to drag on for eternity, so he had to like invent a way to like hasten the end of the game, which felt really tacked on and was just not cool. None of that stuff exists in this version. It's a much, much better game. The artwork is pretty cool throughout. You play as, it's like a 4X game. Yeah. With tile placement and deck building, so it's got a lot of stuff going on. And you have a starting deck that's pretty similar to everybody else's. Depending on your character, you might get a couple of special cards that go into your deck. And then you are kind of, you know, like, you're playing cards from your hand to get fervor or strength or power or different abilities that you need, and then you're using those powers to buy new warriors and crops to grow and different things that you put out on your hex-based board, which is different depending on how you explore the board. And then you turn in those resources to build buildings and temples and towers and villages.
Cool.
And lots of different ways to score points. We've played it several different times already. I'd like to try it with a really high player count. It's not. It only plays like maybe three or four.
Yeah, it only plays three or four.
So we need to play a four-player game as well. But three is really, really solid. Like, a lot of different ways to win. Everything feels pretty balanced. You kind of use your character's abilities to determine what goal and direction you're going to go for in the game.
Great.
Yeah, coming to Kickstarter, definitely check out Deity's Domination. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at Periodic, a game of the elements from Genius Games.
This sounds like a smart game, yeah. Genius Games. All right, cool.
Games.
Yeah. In this game, you are racing across the periodic table trying to score points by gaining sets of certain elements that are on the goal cards that are available. So I'm not sure all the ins and outs of all the mechanics, but I'm always looking forward to games out by Genius Games, especially as a parent and educator. It makes my job as a homeschool mom way easier when the kids can learn playing games.
And enjoy, yeah, what they're
doing. Yeah, and I know they do a great job of making these classroom-friendly, too. And the nice thing is, these are enjoyable to play just as a hobby game.
This game looks sleek.
Yes, like, it does.
It looks very sharp, very scientific, but also, like, it would be a good amount of fun. Usually, they incorporate some, like, you know, they're not like swiping them, but they'll use like a popular mechanic from other games, like card drafting or some of those things. Yeah. And then they'll tie it like perfectly, scientifically.
Are correct. So it's nice to be able to know that, you know, my kids can study off of these and everything is correct science-wise and math-wise on these games.
I think it's really nice that she keeps saying kids because she knows that when I play this game, I'll
Will's
learn.
Also learning. Oh, you mean that's
like,
what they're
that's how you make sodium chloride? What? I can't wait. I'm looking forward to learning stuff already.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, what are you talking about?
So let's talk about the game from our sponsor, Coffee Cake Gaming, is bringing Welcome to the Jungle to Kickstarter. And this is a board game that uses, like, anthropomorphic creatures. Okay. So they have, like, faces and things. And they
Most animals have faces.
But they look more human.
About worms don't have faces.
Human-like features. And the jungle is this own little like city. Thanks, guys. This city where
say most. I feel like you go.
It's fine. They all have numbered cards, and they're going through the city, through the docks, and to different places in the on the board, basically getting their crew up and getting more street cred, becoming the kingpin, and things like that. So I saw a little spinner in the game,
really?
So I don't know if you like flick the spinner or something, but that sounds something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've seen a couple games pull that off recently. Yeah. Like, which one is it?
Montana
or something?
Does
that. It has a actually kind of cool spinner.
And the art's very good.
Ooh.
Let's see these anthropomorphic animals.
So, like, modern era, though. I was imagining like Robin Hood, but this dude's like a gangster gorilla.
Yeah, these are like gangsters that go in the city, so.
Kingpin makes more sense in that case.
Yeah, it does make more sense.
It's like a punk sloth.
Yeah,
oh, nice. Punk sloth.
And dyed hair, pretty cool.
So that's coming. You won't believe when. September
18th.
So, yes, look out for Welcome to the Jungle from Coffee Cake Gaming. The next game is that I'm going to talk about is Project L.
Oh, yeah.
Will, myself, and Melissa.
That one's coming out this week, too.
Played.
September 18th?
Yes.
Cool, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's why we played it tonight.
All right, good idea. It was fun, yeah.
So this is coming from Boardcubator Games or something?
Incubator, Boardcubator.
Boardcubator. I was like, at first I was like, oh, you know, just...
it looks really simple.
Yeah, really simple. Like, it's got polyomino, so there's like...
Tetris-looking pieces.
Tetris pieces with these like cards. I was like, oh, are you just like matching them? It's like...
No.
Yes and no. You on your turn, you have up to three actions you can take, and you can do the same action multiple times, but you can take pieces, but these puzzles that you're trying to like match the Tetris pieces to, like, are all are all different types of shapes. And then, like, light bulb blew our mind moment is when you're taking these pieces from the main stack is, like, not when you're when you're finished your puzzle, those pieces don't get put back in the pile. They are still your pieces.
Yeah.
So to me, that the my brain is like exploded.
And then, yeah, and then when you finish that completed card, some of them give just victory points. Some of them give victory points and a new top.
I think
new
all of them
piece
give
to add to yours.
I think, I think they all might give some sort of piece, but they.
Well, no, some of the higher ones only gave victory, like a lot of victory points, but you didn't gain any additional pieces.
That was really fun. Trying to like get the right cards, but then making sure like you're getting cards that fit your pieces and there's different ways.
Right, because to get pieces, if you just want to take a piece from the supply, you have to take the small little one piece. And then you have to take an action to upgrade it to a two piece. And then another action to upgrade it to a three piece. So if you want those larger pieces, you have to spend time upgrading them, or you can get them as rewards from cards.
And one of the other cool things is that one of the actions you can take is that you can place a piece on all of your cards at the same time. Mm-hmm. So like trying to stack to make sure you've got, you know, four cards in front of you and the four pieces that you need to go on it, but still pieces left over so that you can actually finish a puzzle and not be stuck hanging. Like it was, I think their description online was that it's a brain burner, and it really was. I didn't feel like it was like AP inducing. No. Like we went through it really quick, but it was very cool. Like puzzle solvey, almost engine building. Like I don't really know what to call it, but it was cool.
Yeah,
I was
impressed. The engine building is coming from getting the you're collecting those pieces throughout the game.
Right, and so. You want one of those sweet turns where you like you finish one tile and it gives you the piece that you need to start on the next tile so that you can finish that on the next turn. And
I really enjoyed it. I won, so that probably helps.
I was really at first I wasn't sure. It looked cool. Looked like very like simple design, but I was impressed. So.
Yeah, pretty cool for sure.
So
you had one more too, right?
We have one more, and it's Homebrewers from Greater Than Games Dice Hate Me Games that's coming to Kickstarter. And you won't believe it.
What?
We have Chris Kirkman from Dice Hate Me, Greater Than Games, coming to the show on our podcast's interview.
Should we welcome him to the house?
Let's do it.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Well, Chris, it's great having you here at the house. Tell us a little bit how you are connected to the board game industry.
Well, currently I am one of the co-owners of Greater Than Games, along with Christopher Bedell, Adam Rebitaro, and Paul Bender. We merged. I initially started Dice Hate Me Games after starting my game evangelism blog, Dice Hate Me, and started a company in 2010. And then in 2015, merged with Greater Than Games. So that's kind of how I'm connected. I not only do I produce games through Greater Than Games and operate as the game development director for the company, I also do media as well, podcasting and some reviews and try to stay on top of things to keep my journalistic chops polished, so to speak.
Well, we have you on the podcast because we want to talk about homebrewers. Yeah, sorry. Homebrewers. Yeah, I got that one wrong. Sorry. Homebrewers. And we are really excited about that because Melissa and I were able to play a prototype of this back at UmPub 8 back in March 2018. And we really enjoyed our play of that. And we're glad that we can have you on the show now to tell us a little bit more about where Homebrewers is at and what's happening. So tell us a little bit about Homebrewers.
So Homebrewers is part of the Brewcrafters line, so to speak. So Ben Rossett designed Brewcrafters back in, I think, 2013, if I recall correctly. I believe it's when I first played it. It was at UmPub 3. And if you can imagine that long ago, but UmPub 3, and I loved it and said, let's do this. So we kickstarted that in 2013, and it came out in 2014. And so he has decided he's been kicking around Homebrewers, which is a variation on Brewcrafters, as sort of a medium weight game. Brewcrafters is a little heavier. We also have Brewcrafters Travel Card Game, which is going to be rebranded to Microbrewers now. But right in the middle, he was always playing around with a dice game and wanted to theme it around home brewing because it's it's just gotten so huge, especially as a hobby. So essentially at its core, Homebrewers is a dice game. In the beginning, where you have three dice and you're going to roll them, and then there's a small trading phase. It literally lasts like 30 seconds. It's like straight up, like, I've got too many sanitizers, because somebody want to sanitize die or something like that. And then after that, you're using your dice to do various things. One is to collect ingredients for certain four different types of recipes for homebrewed ales. So you got ales, porter, stouts, and IPAs. And then you can also get cards that have dual use. That you either discard them for an effect on the bottom, or you can add them to a recipe. And every time you brew that particular recipe, you get a bonus of some sort. And that's kind of the heart of the game. It's like homebrewing is all about, you know, experimenting and coming up with crazy recipes. So sometimes you'll get like a kimchi apricot stout, you know, and you know, somewhere in the world somebody's brewed that. But it's a lot of fun too, because then you start to get not only crazy combos but also crazy recipes, and that's half the fun of the game.
So were you involved in the development of the game after Ben and Matthew started designing it?
Yes, Ben presented it to me in a very raw form at PressCon. I think it might have been in 2014, possibly 2015. But then he started working with Matthew O'Malley on the core concept of the game, and then presented it to us once again. And so from that point, I was offering development notes and things that they could test out on their end. And so, yeah, I've been pretty heavily involved with development with it.
So what made you decide to take homebrewers to Kickstarter instead of going straight to retail?
Well, one thing that we think we're trying to do more games just to retail that makes sense to go to retail. But since homebrewers has sort of it has an appeal to an established audience. So, for instance, anyone who enjoyed Brewcrafters or the Brewcrafters Travel Card Game and, of course, likes beer or beer-related games, there's going to be already a built-in audience that will be coming to the Kickstarter just naturally. And so it makes sense. It's a truncated campaign. It's a lower funding goal. But it's nice to do Kickstarter because people who are early adopters, they can get certain promotionals for the game that will only be available, you know, later through conventions and things like that. So it just made sense for us to take this one to Kickstarter and to do a shorter campaign just to get the name out there initially.
So could you tell us a few of the details of the campaign, the things that you've got worked out so far?
Sure. Let me, just so I'm not stepping on anything here, I'm going to bring up the list that we went over with Paul the other day. So the initial buy-in for homebrewers, the pledge level is going to be $35, which for retail, this is a rooster, and a rooster means we have different box sizes based on the Chinese zodiac. So rooster is the same size as, say, New Bedford or Compounded.
Okay.
That usually retails for $39.95, so we're giving a discount off of that plus a promo. And then our stretch goal, we're going to fund at $29,000, and then we have a few stretch goals worked in. First player token, track markers that are individual sized glasses, so everybody kind of sees, you know, where their track markers are a little bit easier. We'll go to custom molded dice after that, and then we got some flavor card art we'd like to build in as we go through the stretch goals beyond that. We've got a few other things that are kind of interesting for this. So for a $5 add-on, or you can just do $40, you get Homebrewers plus the rebranded Brewcrafters Travel Card Game, which we're now calling Microbrewers. And it's a slightly different game than the original Brewcrafters Travel Card Game. We've added two new cards to the deck and culled it so that it's more balanced, and changed a couple of powers of the cards in the game itself. So it's not just a rebrand, it's actually a revisiting of the game itself. So that's a little $5, but it's going to be $10 because it's a rabbit, which is our small card games. We also have pint glasses we're going to be having for add-ons, because, you know, can't do a beer game without pint glasses. And then you can also, from what I understand, for our next printing of Brewcrafters, you can get it as an add-on for $50, which is $10 discount off of the retail price for that.
So remind our listeners, when does the campaign go live?
It'll go live September the 18th. So Tuesday, okay. September the 18th.
This episode goes live September 17th. So just tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day this goes live, Homebrewers will go live September 18th, the next day. So look forward to that. And remind us, this is 2-4 player?
2-5.
2-5 player. Okay, 2-5 player. That's great. And look for Homebrewers from Ben Rossa and Matthew O'Malley from Greater Than Games Dice Hate Me Games coming to Kickstarter September 18th. And it's only $35, right?
Only $35, and worth every penny.
Very cool. So while we have you on our show,
sure.
we want to talk about some of the other games that we're excited about that you guys are publishing. Well, one of them we got to try out is called Legends of Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, that's the monster.
Tell us where are you at so right now in the production?
So right now where we're at is wrapping up the art production and also the story. One thing that we had Matt and Ben, the designers, Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback.
Another good Ben and Matt team.
Yeah, exactly. We like working with Ben and Matt's. we've been kind of tweaking the story, and also we had a kind of Camp Sleepy Hollow in May where we played through the entire thing and tweaked a couple of different settings on a few of the chapters. So now we're essentially just trying to make our way through production. We are on the backside of the miniature production now, so we can actually start mass production of the miniatures.
Great.
And so we're just basically wrapping up Colin Chan, who's doing a fantastic job with the maps. He's on the final map for the main game now, and he'll have one more map for the epilogue, which is the little expansion that we actually were able to reach through stretch goals for the Kickstarter. We're behind production, and our last update, we let everybody know that, you know, it's just taking a little bit longer than we anticipated, but, you know, a game of this size, and especially with this much story, we want to make sure we do it right.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's been a, when I first started, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm still excited about the game. I can't wait till people play it, but I'm so ready to be done with production on this thing because it's just such a monster to wrangle.
And did you say in the update, are you hoping to get this shipped on the boats before the end of the year? Or?
Well, right now, we're not sure exactly what the shipping timeline will be, but if I had to estimate, it'll probably be after the new year.
Okay. Well, tell us, if you can, some of the other projects that are coming out in the future from your company.
Well, we have, let's see. Oh, man, we got a list and a half here.
Oh, just name some that come to the top of your head then.
Sure. We're going to be doing The Curators from Daniel Solis and Drew Hicks, which is sort of a puzzle type game where you are curating a museum and using tiles to do so. And when you're done, it's going to look like an isometric room. So you'll actually build the entire interior of the museum, scoring points along the way for that. That one will probably be out. I'm not sure. We're trying to figure out if we want to go to Kickstarter with that one or go straight to retail, but it has such a presence and a table presence to it that we think that it will appeal to Kickstarter backers quite a bit. We also have the Isle of Trains expansion, which is all aboard. And that one will probably go straight to retail for it because the Isle of Trains has done just really great in retail. So we'll move on beyond that one. And we just have a lot of other little things, a couple that we haven't completely signed yet, but I'm really excited about, and hopefully we'll be able to announce those pretty soon.
Great, Chris. It was great having you on our show tonight. Tell our listeners where they can find you on the internets.
You can always find me on Twitter at DiceHateMe, and that's the best place to find me.
Great. Well, thanks again. It was great having you on the show, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Bye!
Well, it was great having Chris Kirkman on our show, and we look forward to seeing more from Dice Hate Me and Greater Than Games.
Yeah, good stuff all the time. So we got a couple more things on the episode. We've got a giveaway to announce. We've been running it for a couple weeks, and then we've got another contest to announce right after that. But next up on the docket is Game Night at the Library. Sure. September
game afternoon
22nd.
It is more like 1 to 5.
Yeah, 1 to 5 p.m. at the Greenville County Downtown Library,
the Hughes Main Library.
That one. We're teaming up with Boardwalk.
Yes,
they're bringing some library. I'm going to finish our sign up sheet today to send to them for all the play to win or learn to plays that we're going to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boardwalk is doing a couple as well. Maybe a couple tournaments. Maybe, and then we'll do some giveaways and stuff. So if you guys are listening
or watching.
And you want to drive to Greenville, South Carolina
September 22nd.
Two Saturdays from now, I think. Or one from when it goes live. Something like that. Join us. We'll have some fun. And we'd love to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, so and this is a free event.
Yeah, so be sure to join us. Mm-hmm. That's right. The one that's not going to be free, but it's still incredibly reasonably priced, is TantrumCon, which we haven't talked about this episode.
TantrumCon!
I feel like we should talk about that at least once every episode.
We should. TantrumCon.com.
How many of you who are watching on Facebook are... Oh, somebody just joined us. Give us that thumbs up, right?
Jacob Bunting.
Still here. TantrumCon is coming up February something. Man, I should know that by now, right?
Yeah.
15 through 17.
There you go.
Got it.
Well.
We've got a special going on right now. Probably the best price that you're going to get for the year. So buy your tickets before October. The price will go up. I think it's like 10% off right now of what it will be. But details are coming together. We signed a couple of sponsors and some exhibitors, and we're seeing some badge sales, which is cool. We need to see that number jump so we can make sure that we're on track for covering all of our bases and having a super awesome event.
Woo-hoo.
We were just, what were we talking about stickers for? Was that unrelated? Uh-huh. I want to add stickers to the website.
Decals?
Yeah, we need decals.
We can't do it.
Every time. You said stickers earlier. Swear.
You did swear say something about your smallest handcuff sticker.
Okay, I better.
That was off camera.
But we'll definitely have some swag and different things at the event that'll come with your registration. And we'll be doing bunches of giveaways at the event too, so. I don't remember what the prices are because I can't remember anything.
$54 for a regular badge right now.
Right, so that's your 3 days.
On sale price.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. And you'll get all kinds of cool stuff when you show
and
up.
Even if you can come for 1 or 2 days, it's still a good price.
It is, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully we'll see you there.
Did we confirm the pizza party with New York Slice?
Not yet, it's not all confirmed yet. But we're sorry. It's close
it's like to 99% there. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, sorry. Getting close to confirming.
Hint, hint. We are going to do a bunch of like event games. So it'll be like a pizza party with a game that might or might not be from Bezier. And then winners will get to keep, or players will like take the game with them. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be fun. So those types of events we're working on the details for right now. I think those are going to be, I mean, my hope, my goal, my vision.
Your vision.
Give me some good background music here, Ben. My vision is that when people go to these board game conventions, like, when you walk away, you don't necessarily remember, like, the 11 games. Like, the highlight is not the 11 games that you got to play while you were there. It's, like, that one game that was crazy where you got to sit down with James Hudson or whoever, and you were, like, it was 2 in the morning, and people were going crazy. Like, those are the moments that I think people walk away from gaming conventions and, like, are most excited about.
Yeah.
I want to create as many of those experiences as we can cram into 3 days. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can end the music now, Ben. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Ryan, tell us about your next adventure.
Well, this is not necessarily an adventure, but it's something fun.
Make it an adventure.
That Melissa thought we could do on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Is we're all going to do the survey questionnaire for your board gamer profile on mm-hmm. QuanticFoundry.com. And we wanted to talk about it a little bit this week so that our listeners, if they're interested, could take it before next week and follow along and see how their results compared okay. to our results.
Cool.
It actually is really cool. There's been a lot of research that's gone into this. I've been following this researcher, Nick Yee, since I was in college. So it's been a while.
A long time.
And it's just been interesting seeing how he's developed his research, starting from computer and video games and now going into board games. And some of the insights for my board gamer profile were like very eye-opening.
Insane.
And I was like, oh, I never thought about that, but that is so true.
Huh.
And so hopefully we'll all have a little bit of back and forth interesting conversations about it next week. So cool. Tune in for that.
So next Monday you're going to post a link when this goes live on the internets.
Yes, we'll have a link on our Facebook.
Okay, and maybe in the
this.
Podcast website post or something too.
Yeah.
To, what is the website called?
QuanticFoundry.com.
Is it spelled just like you would think it would be?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, he found it. All right.
Yeah, Quantic. But we'll have the specific link for the board gamer survey.
Yeah, there's
so you don't accidentally
ones?
Go to the video gamer one. It's not.
That would be
it's
terrible.
Not too confusing. It is a little confusing. It's not too
it
hard
is.
To find.
I can't find it, so I'm sure you'll find it for us, Brian.
Thank you.
Now, you, Melissa, already took the
yes.
quantifier, so we don't want to talk about it too much.
Yeah, we don't.
Did you also feel enlightened? Like, is this it's going to be a pretty cool experience next week?
I probably need to go look at it.
She already
again.
Knew exactly what her.
I know. Like, mine. Yes. Mine was interesting,
okay.
And it was very different from Will's.
I think cool. I did it wrong.
Okay, we'll save all this good stuff.
There
for
were a
next
lot
week.
Of things in there that it was like, if you said you didn't like this, then these are the games you were interested in. But otherwise, you would have been interested in these games. I'm like, wait
I
a minute.
Like all these games.
The games that it said I wouldn't like are the ones I do like.
It,
so, I don't know.
It
I
gives you a top 10 or something list of recommended games for you at the end.
Really?
And
no,
I was
I
like, oh, wow.
You should.
These are all amazing games.
Your favorite
games?
See?
Yeah.
No, but
like, now I don't even
right.
need to come up with my top 10 list because it gave it to me.
Wow.
See, he did something right. I did something wrong, because all of the ones that I didn't choose are the ones that I'm like, I really enjoyed that one.
Well, cool. Be sure to check out your board gamer profile and then listen in next week, because obviously we're going to have some fun talking about it. I can tell. We're having to pull the reins back right now. All right, so we have an announcement on who our winner was.
Yes.
From our Magnets the Game giveaway. We did that for a couple weeks, had a bunch of people submit their guess on how many magnets were in the game. Do we know? Do we see how many there are?
I think Ryan knows.
I believe there's 35 magnets in the game.
Okay, so that's the correct answer.
Yes.
Whether you were correct or not, you had a fair chance. That's right. So we rolled some lots, cast some lots. How do you say that? Rolled some fate die.
Yeah. Fate sticks.
before the podcast, and we have selected a winner.
Yes.
Tell us who won the game, Kevin.
Well, the person that won did not guess the correct number of magnets.
Which is completely fine.
But that's okay.
They were
incredibly close.
Claude, you're the winner, and we will email you back. He guessed 30. So
that's a reasonable guess.
Yeah. And Claude,
he'll get the game, and then he'll know for sure.
Yes, fine. We have one more copy of Magnets to give away.
Okay, cool. Are we going to do that this episode? We're announcing...
Yeah, announcing another giveaway of another Magnets game, which is still on Kickstarter. So you should check that out. Magnets the Game.
Real simple fun. That's not who it's from, but it's really simple and it's fun. check it out on Kickstarter. And then how are we going to do this giveaway?
So we're going to check something brand new that we're like unveiling tonight.
The new system.
You may have heard if you were on Facebook. So we thought, why don't we start gathering a giveaway list? People can just go to our website, tantrumhouse.com, and there can be a little link there that they can just fill out their name and their email address, maybe their address. And that way they can always be entered for every giveaway in the future. And then we'll start gathering names that way, and that'll be good for everyone. So they're like, cool. Did I enter? Did I not enter? And
To re-enter for additional entries?
I don't know. We'll talk about that. But if they do win, then they can't win again till the next year.
The next year?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think we've had a repeat winner anyway, so you're right. All right, well, cool. So go to tantrumhouse.com.
Yes.
There'll be a little box in the corner that says... win the game or something.
We'll think of something cool.
Podcast contest.
There we go.
Sounds like a winner. And fill out the box for your chance to win. And then in 2 weeks plus time travel or whatever, we'll draw another winner.
We'll pick a winner.
Yeah. And that'll probably be about the time that they're wrapping up the campaign, maybe. Yep. So if you're listening to this in between, go check it out for your chance to win Magnets the Game. I think that was pretty much it. So we just need the wrap up, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Nothing else? This is going to come out what day?
September 20th.
Oh, my birthday! What?
September
20th. Yeah, should we sing me happy birthday?
I'm sorry.
Let's sing happy birthday, Will.
Happy birthday to you.
Future.
Happy birthday to you.
Don't guess how old I am.
Happy birthday, dear Will. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Thank you guys so much for joining us for a great show. See you next week. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!